Saúde boa, tchau.
Hello and welcome to the Tiger's Den. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Tiger's Den, the official LSU podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. I am your host, Scott. And well, the big game hunter, Scott Woodward, set his scopes on a huge hire and he got his man. And in case you haven't heard, LSU has a new head coach, and his name is Brian Kelly. And it seems like he is exactly what LSU needs right now in this program's history. A normal show we would have normally have several topics, and we'll still have a few, but I think that this historical hire will probably dominate most of the show. Joining me with on this episode is my co-host, Wes. Wes, how are you doing? How are you feeling?
Doing good. Good to way to end the regular season for football, and good to nice to have something to be excited about here. And there's no reason not to be pumped about what the future could be and like what we have. Just, I mean, even the short distance ahead with some early national signing day, and then some seeing how recruits are going to start reacting to this, because I think we've already seen some positive reactions, going to get even better. So.
Yes, definitely.
And we went through this whole year not knowing if there was going to be any reason to be remotely positive about LSU. As people started decommitting and entering the transfer portal with Miles Brennan and Eli Ricks and stuff like that, and Walker Howard taking other visits other places. And there was a couple weeks ago that we were like, who's going to be here next year? And what kind of coaching hire is even going to matter to these recruits? This is a positive answer for who we can bring in and strengthen our recruiting class and get the best out of those players that are here.
Definitely. So I guess we should probably start at the beginning. And if you're starting at the beginning, you I guess would have to start with Lincoln Riley. Obviously he chose Oklahoma to go be the next coach. USC from Oklahoma to USC. Honestly, I think he was targeted by LSU, and I think he, basically played LSU. And that's fine, if that's what he wants to do, that's more power to him. But I think it is disingenuous to think that he was our first and probably our first target. Like, I really do think he was. And I think at the end of the day, and this is my opinion, I honestly think he just didn't want the competition of the SEC. Oklahoma's coming to the SEC. So he ran away from that, and LSU is obviously in the SEC, and he looks like he ran away from that. And I think that he wants to be a pro coach, I think, one day. And I think he figures the best way to do that, to pad his resume, is to get a lot of wins. And you can do that at USC, whereas at LSU, it's going to be a lot harder to do. He's going to lock up the West Coast recruiting wise, and he's, going to try to win out there. And a fairly easy conference and an easy schedule. And, it's almost seems like he's going the Pete Carroll route, go coach at SC and then look for a professional job later on.
Think LSU, I wouldn't say that with the way he responded here, I don't think that LSU ever got into too deep of a conversation with him. I mean, the small tea leaves that we can see is that Brian Kelly was called over a month ago, and it sounds like in that conversation, he said he just wanted to focus on what Notre Dame was doing. He just wasn't mm-hmm. willing. I don't think he said no. I think he said, I'm not willing to have this conversation right now because I'm in the middle of this season and all that. But it sounds like they probably had a respectful conversation. It sounds like he respects Scott Woodward a lot, mm-hmm. but there was no deal done a month ago.
Right.
And then I do believe that Lincoln Riley probably got a phone call, but all of this, everything that I've been hearing from, you know, I'm in Big 12 country in Texas. Everything that we're hearing locally is that it's going back to Lincoln Riley decided on this a long, way before Orgeron was being let go. This goes back to when the beginning of the season, when all the stuff came out about them, the Big 12 falling apart and multiple teams going to the SEC. And I don't think it's, we can spin it any way we want. And it sounds like he, you know, I love to say that he's running away from the competition in the SEC. It sounded like he was felt disrespected as one of the premier big coaches in college football that's been probably underpaid for what he could have demanded from them, that he wasn't ever told about it. The way he found out was through the media as well. It sounded like he felt disrespected, that the university and the Big 12 as a whole didn't say anything to him. And it just sounded like he decided way back then he was done with OU. And I would say that if he was that upset about Big 12, he probably wasn't going to take a job anywhere in the Big 12 or SEC just purely because of that. He didn't want to be associated with any of it. Having said that, I can't blame Lincoln Riley and throw out the run. I don't care if he's running away from anybody. This guy is going to Southern California to make $110 million plus basically a $7 million bonus where they're buying his old house for twice as much as it's worth and buying him a brand new house. And he gets him and his entire family gets any use of a jet that they want, a private jet, anytime they want. And he's been living in the middle of nowhere in Oklahoma. And I'm not sure how much time he spent up there. It ain't great. Like, I mean, it is a college football town, but it's not like Baton Rouge college football town where at least there's something else kind of close. I mean, Dallas is your closest thing and it ain't that close.
Right.
So I can't blame him. I mean, for this is like the thing where the people say that, you know, a basketball player runs off to Miami. Well, they're going to have a good time. Lincoln Riley is going to make a lot of money, get spoiled, and have a fabulous life that all of us will be jealous of while he's, you know, coaching USC. And then he gets a bunch of credit if he brings USC back to prominence and making them a respectful program again. So honestly, a perfect situation for somebody like him. One, he can be the savior, even though they're not that bad as far as the recruiting classes they get. He makes them a little bit better. He looks like the big hero. He makes over $100 million and you know, lives in Southern California.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to spend too much time on him, but
yeah
we probably already spent more time than he deserves.
Yeah. We probably just talked about him longer than Scott Woodward spoke to him.
Possible. So with that, it seemed at that point once he decided or it wasn't LSU decided to move on. Right. So they moved on and they contacted Brian Kelly and, offered him the big money and he came and I'm happy about it, to be honest.
I didn't see this coming.
I didn't either. So
multiple coaches kept moving or saying they weren't moving.
Right.
And all we kept hearing is the LSU didn't even call them. And we're like, okay, so they didn't get Riley. And all we're hearing is they didn't call this guy. They didn't call that guy. They didn't call this person. And this is the last time I'll ever say it unless he becomes a coach at LSU. I like Lane Kiffin. That's hilarious the way he trolled everybody. I think it's great because he didn't only troll the state of Louisiana, he also trolled Ole Miss by is he leaving?
Right.
I think it's great. I mean, it's hilarious what he did. But it got me thinking too. I thought it was too on the nose. It was probably too obvious. I was like, okay, this would be great, but he's not coming. He's just screwing with everybody. And then now I'm back to fuck Lincoln Lane Kiffin. I'm not a fan anymore.
Yeah, so
it sounds like we wanted to keep this under wraps, though, for Brian Kelly. Sounded like he had multiple things he had going on, and he requested that we didn't announce this till Wednesday,
right?
And it just didn't work out that way.
No, it didn't, for sure. Stuff always leaks out like that. you know, when I'll be honest, when I first heard that it was Lincoln Riley, Brian Kelly. Yep. When I first heard it was Brian Kelly, my initial reaction was meh. But as I thought about it more, as I looked into it more, it wasn't just a home run hire. It was a grand slam hire. This was exactly the right hire for LSU coming off of where we came from. I mean, he is literally the complete opposite of Coach O.
And Les Miles. Both.
And Les Miles.
In every, yeah.
Definitely. You know, he is by far the most accomplished coach LSU has ever hired. You know, the third most winning active coach behind Saban and Mack Brown. I feel like he came here because he probably felt that he had reached a ceiling at Notre Dame. Obviously, the academic standards at Notre Dame are extremely high, like light years above where LSU is. And it was hard. It's harder to recruit there because you have to get people in, and you can only recruit a certain type of athlete, of player. And here you don't really have that problem. And I think with the talent that we have and the talent coming in and the talent that he can recruit, it's amazing. Like, it's going to be amazing just to kind of sit back and see what he can do. He brings in stability. He brings in
some discipline,
no scandals, you know, other than killing somebody, which we could talk about at another time, but, you know, nothing like that. I saw a funny tweet that was like, he's the type of coach that would turn in Will Wade for doing something. Like, that's the kind of guy he is. And it's funny almost to sit back and listen to some of the quote unquote criticisms that some LSU fans have had. Now, there's not a lot out there, right? I think most people are in agreement that this is a great hire. But some of the criticisms. So, well, he's old. He's 60. We didn't get the young guy. Nick Saban was 57 when he took over Bama. Okay.
He's 70 now.
He's 70
now. And he's won six titles in the last 14.
And he'll probably coach at least another 10 years. So that's not an issue to me. Like, he could very well coach for the next 20 years.
And Brian Kelly doesn't look 60, or like when he's talking and he's energetic and he's like speaking, he doesn't come across as a 60-year-old man at all.
No. And that's one of the things too, is that he's a, you know, once he gets to know the players, he's a good one-on-one guy. He's a good guy that the team will embrace and wrap around. I think
that, like you're alluding to, I think a lot of people probably heard this. Not somebody that they expected, not somebody they went and read anything about, mm-hmm. and went, why the hell would we hire him? And then as you go and start looking through the numbers and doing some stuff about Brian Kelly, everybody's going to be on board. This would be like if your NFL team next year signed Terry McLaurin to a $17 million per year deal, and you go, who the hell is that guy? He's a wide receiver. And then you go watch his highlights and you're like, right. Oh, he might be one of the three best receivers in all of football. I've just never heard of him because Heineke's throwing to him.
Right.
I mean, again, we are light years away from Notre Dame. And all we know is that they do really well. They have a great record. They make the playoffs and then they lose to an SEC team in the playoffs. Well, you know what?
LSU does that
all season long. A
lot. Right. Part of that ceiling, right? Like, you can't compete against the big SEC teams because...
Well, and nobody does.
Right. I
mean, making the playoff, being one of the top six teams in the country is a win of a season. One team wins the national title every year. And it's honestly, it's one of two teams pretty much every single year.
Yeah.
So just saying that he hasn't won the big one is... terrible thing to put on him.
It's very terrible because
I didn't realize he had been at Notre Dame for 12 years.
I didn't either.
I specifically remember him leaving Cincinnati and all this. I can't believe it was 12 years ago. It's unreal to me, but what he's done there,
absolutely.
He has put more players in the NFL during that last mm-hmm. 12 years than any other coach in football. He currently has more players. And he's put more, I think, offensive linemen, in the NFL yes. during that time too. And that's, that's unreal to think about. And I mean, it's amazing. And again, you give him the talent here. And the one thing we got into a discussion with some friends about, well, you know, he hasn't played the same strength of schedule that LSU has. Not true. Over the last 7 years, LSU has been between 10 and 11 on strength of schedule, like their average of 7 years. Notre Dame's been between 13 and 14. Like that, that's off. Not a difference. And I gave, you know, credit on our show the other day. One thing that I would say that I give him credit for is, you know, SEC teams are built to play other SEC teams. We talk about the Saints. The Saints are made to beat the NFC South teams, and they do it handily. Notre Dame can't be built around one style of football, how to only beat, okay, I'm planning to play these six, five teams every single year, and, you know, how do I beat them first, and then I start winning. They're all over the place, and again, they probably control a lot of their schedule, but they're mm-hmm. playing hard teams and competing against them and beating them, you know, on the road and at home. It's a you know, great job that he's done.
Absolutely. For sure. And that kind of leads to another thing is recruiting. So a lot of people are like, well, will he be able to recruit? Well, he's recruited players from Louisiana before, top players from Louisiana to go to Notre Dame. He's recruited them to Notre Dame, which is a basic shithole up north.
That as of nobody... 3 weeks ago, he had the number one class for 2022 and the number four class for 2023 that he's sitting on. Yeah. I mean, yes, he can recruit.
He can recruit.
He has another thing, if everyone wants to ask what he can do, he can hire offensive and defensive coordinators. He has pegged the right people and put them in positions where people are wanting them to go be head coaches of the place. LSU tried to hire his defensive coordinator last year. They did. And we ended up with Jones instead. So, I mean, he has put together good teams, whether that's his coaching staff or his players, and he's won big games.
He's basically everything that we hoped Coach O would be, right? Another thing, people say, well, is he a cultural fit? Because he's from the Midwest. Coach O was probably the most cultural fit you could have at LSU, and you see what happened there, right? The three most successful coaches at LSU in any sport, arguably, Del Brown, not from Louisiana, from up north, Nick Saban, from up north, Midwest, coached at Michigan State, and Skip Bertman, grew up in Detroit, went to Miami, coached there, and then came to LSU. None of those three guys had really stepped foot in Louisiana until they came to LSU. So that whole cultural shit is nothing. Throw it out the window.
And he stepped in with the right attitude today. He came out and said, my wife and I have never spent time in Louisiana. We are mm-hmm. going to learn about Louisiana. We are going yep. to embrace the culture here. He goes, and we are not coming here to change Louisiana. We are coming here to let Louisiana change us.
Exactly.
And again, he didn't just talk about him. He talked about him and his wife, his family. This is his home now. And the way it's the right thing to do in a place like Louisiana that truly has culture, whether it's Baton Rouge or New Orleans or all of Louisiana, there's a feeling, there's an environment and you know, people to get to know. And it's great that he came in with that attitude, and he said it in a true way. Like, I mean, like he meant it and was excited to, you know, change himself, and his wife is excited to be a part of it too.
Yes. And
hopefully, you know, he's not divorcing her after.
God, I hope not. They seem to be pretty stable. Hopefully he seems like a stable fella. You know, one of the other knocks, he's kind of arrogant. He kind of can be an asshole. Well, hi, have you met Nick Saban? Have you met Sean Payton? Like, the top coaches are arrogant assholes. That's the kind of coach you want. You don't want the Les Miles type of coach, right? You don't want the Coach O type of coach. You want somebody who's got that little bit of a arrogant little asshole kind of edge to him. And that's what I want in my head coach. And, you know, anyone who's not happy with this hire is not paying attention, right? Like, they're just dumb at this point.
And the other thing, if we want to do the knock on Lincoln Riley too, he said that Brian Kelly said the exact opposite. He says, when I got a phone call about LSU, He goes, we have the best facilities, we get the best players, and we play the hardest competition. He goes, that's why I'm here.
That's why I'm here. I want to be on Broadway.
I want to be in the hardest conference. I want to coach the best players that there are. And I want to win national titles. Like that's what you're supposed to say, but like he is saying, that's why I'm here. This is the reason I returned the phone call. He's also, you know, the thing that we could be worried about is like the overall infrastructure that we have with Woodward and everybody around him. He said that he's excited because everybody is in total alignment about where we're going and how we're getting there. And I like to hear that rather than there's not a lot of turnover on we need a new coaching staff. We don't need a big turnover on our players. We have been recruiting top three recruiting classes every single year. Don't change a thing. Keep doing that. Find a way to drive them and keep making them better and develop them.
Yep. And you know, that was the big word of his press conference was alignment, right? Yep.
He used it a lot.
I'm in alignment with the president of the university. I'm in alignment with the athletic director. Like he knows what they want and what they expect. He knows what LSU fans want and expect, and he's ready to do it. Like he's not scared of the challenge. He came here because he wanted the challenge. He came here because he wanted to be in the limelight, and he's going to be, and that's what he wants. And that's what he's going to get. And you know, he knows offense. He can recruit, he can develop offensive linemen. I mean, what is the thing we were talking about? Was it not a week or two ago that there's been no real development of the offensive line? Like Coach O didn't do it. Now, Brad Davis has done a good job. I think they've gotten better throughout the season, but
for sure,
there needs to be that development, and this guy can do it. Right. He can do it.
I think it's taken us too long to develop them. Like this year, by the end of this year, we had a great offensive line. They were doing excellent pass blocking and run blocking, but we've got some people that are on their fourth or fifth year here before they're showing up as good offensive linemen. And also important is we're about to lose all of them. Yeah. I mean, like we're basically starting over next year. Another thing, you know, I didn't even realize this until today though, but, nobody has ever won National Coach of the Year more than once, except for Brian Kelly, who's won it three times. I'd never heard that stat or realized it, but that's impressive and interesting. And he's won at multiple different levels with Grand Valley State. He won two national titles there. He turned around Central Michigan and took them to their first bowl game that they'd been to in I think a dozen years or so. What he did at Cincinnati, well, let's not talk about the way he left Cincinnati, but he led them to an undefeated season where they were playing in the Sugar Bowl, and then went to Notre Dame for 12 years and has the second highest winning percentage of any active coach. He wins 75% of his football games, which is good stuff.
Very good stuff. You know, I definitely think it was a great hire. I'm interested to see what he's going to do for offensive defensive coordinator. Kind of right before we came on air, it looks like Marcus Freeman, who was his defensive coordinator, is going to be the next head coach at Notre Dame, and that Reese, his offensive coordinator, is going to stay on as offensive coordinator at Notre Dame. So it'll be interesting to see what he does. I think that he will make the right decision. I can pretty much guarantee that Pete's will not be here next year.
No.
Durante, maybe, you know,
I can't see that either.
I don't see it, but I think he's earned at least an interview for the job. Right. But I expect him to get somebody in here. And just because you have an older head coach doesn't mean you can't hire younger coordinators that's what he did at Notre Dame. I mean, Reese and Freeman are both young guys. Right. So,
I think as long as Brad Davis and Corey Raymond stay, I see both of them staying. It looks like Mickey Joseph is going to get a job as a head coach somewhere in a smaller school.
Kevin Fault might be hanging around.
Sounds like our big guys that we rely on for recruiting, which Brad Davis has definitely done a good job with recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And then it sounds like we're keeping some of them, so we do need to to yeah. Corey Raymond, of course, brings in the best defensive backs. Everybody wants to pay for him if they want to play in the NFL.
Right. And, you know, it with the talent we have, if you get a competent offensive coordinator and defensive coordinator, there shouldn't be a big drop off. Right.
Right.
And you know, Brian Kelly reportedly has contacted Miles Brennan too. So, you know, that I think shows a lot of respect for Miles Brennan.
It also shows that he was watching LSU games this year.
Yes, he knows. He knows that he needs a quarterback.
He needs somebody for 1 year for Walker Howard to be
right.
Behind.
Exactly.
Walker Howard re-upped his commitment after we were worried we were losing him. Soon as this came out, he said we are going to win multiple national championships.
Yep, and you know who we were worried to losing him to?
Notre Dame.
Yeah.
He just visited there two weeks ago.
He just visited there. So this is a home run for him too. So, you know, there's just a lot of exciting things I think that are going to be happening in the program. I'm very excited to see where this goes. LSU as a whole, athletic wise, I mean, you have a new baseball coach in Jay Johnson, who everybody expect big things from. Will Wade's killing it. Kim Mulkey's killing it. It's really just a great time to be a Tiger, and Scott Woodward has done his job. This is probably the most cohesive the athletic department has been in forever. Right. And it's just going to only get better from here. And speaking of good things, LSU won their last football game, all right? LSU defeated Texas A&M 27-24. I was actually able to go to the game. It was kind of a last-minute thing. I got offered two tickets at a parking pass at a really cheap price.
You shouldn't have left in the third quarter. I can't believe you left early, man.
I know. I told you about that.
No, I was just kidding. You actually left early?
This is why. So... My whole family went and tailgated. I only had two tickets. My whole family went and tailgated before the game. And me and my oldest daughter went to the game. My wife and my other two kids went to go eat with some friends of ours. So after they ate and everything, my wife sends me a text message. And she's like, how long are you going to stay? And
is this the short version of the story?
This is the short version. There's a longer version. This is a short version. She's like, how long are you going to stay? I said, well, it's not even the fourth quarter yet. There was like 2 minutes left in the third quarter. She's like, well, I'm sitting outside behind the stadium, like in, you know, parked. So, you know, I got your two kids in the car. They're getting impatient. It's like, all right. So fourth quarter starts, wait a little while. And I'm like, all right. Well, she keeps texting
LSU's winning 20-10 this time.
I don't even remember. No, I think they were. I don't remember when it was.
We were winning 20-10 at the start of the fourth quarter.
Yeah, that might have been right. So we're like, okay, let's start walking to the car. So we walk to the car, we get there, and we leave. And I put the game on my phone on the YouTube TV, and I'm watching as I'm driving. And
turn around, take me back to the stadium.
No lie. The last touchdown was we were in the north corner, kind of cat a corner to where the student section is. So that touchdown, the last touchdown was literally right in front of us. Like we were on like, and we were like row 5 in section like 212. It was literally right in front of us. And I was just like, motherfucker. I was not happy. I was happy LSU won, but I was not happy that my wife. Anyway, getting back to the game, man, I'm happy we won. Max Johnson has the worst pocket presence of any quarterback I've ever seen in my entire life.
Terrible.
Like, the worst. He can't feel when pressure's coming. If he feels pressure coming, he can't escape it. It's horrible.
He makes Trevor Siemian look like Cleo. I mean...
Yes, like him and Trevor Siemian are like brothers.
No idea what's going on.
And, you know, it's just I know he's a young guy, he's a sophomore, and I know that he'll have time to develop. But I really think we need Miles Brennan back or Nussmeier to start next year.
And anybody that didn't watch this game or pay attention, you look at his numbers of 22 for 38 for 308 yards and 3 touchdowns, and you're like, he killed it. This is our quarterback of the future.
No.
The game was the most, just about the most frustrated I've ever been with a win. And he did great on the very last drive.
Yes.
Two of the three plays of the last six plays or whatever. But there was the two drives before it. I just was killing me.
And you know, the pocket's presence thing obviously is something that's his thing that he needs to work on, and his fault. The offense and defense as a whole, this is what it looked like, and this is what it was, and this is typical of this season. We get up, we start off strong, right? We have a game plan, it's working. We get to halftime, we're winning. And we're winning 17-7 at half. We go into the half. A&M makes adjustments on offense and defense. LSU does not. LSU says, well, this is working, so we're going to stay with the course. And they came out in the second half, and they were absolutely flat. We scored 3 points in the third quarter and luckily got a touchdown at the end of the game to win. We were absolutely flat. Our offense could not do anything in the third and fourth quarter. And it's because we were doing the same thing. Like, there were no adjustments made, and you could just see it. Like, it's weird. The whole game, I felt like we were going to win. Like, it never felt like we were out of it until we got to the fourth quarter and A&M pulled ahead. And then I was like, we haven't done anything the whole second half. I don't think we can score. And by the mercy of whoever, we got that last touchdown. And it was funny because before the game, I was watching Max Johnson in drills, and he threw that exact same pass. And when he threw it in drills, it was a perfect pass. Mm-hmm. Like, and I remember thinking to myself, wow, like, why can't he do that in games? And he finally did it in a game.
You're talking about, this game looked like it got away from us. With a minute and 37 seconds left in the whole game. So LSU had a second and five at their own 20. Max Johnson got sacked for a 6-yard loss, mm-hmm, back to the LSU 14. So there's a minute 37 left. At that time, Texas A&M had a 98.7% chance of winning the game. I mean, that's about as high as they get until there's 1 second left and they still only put 99.9. Right. 98.7%. I mean, and it was all because, like, we would not block Clemens. We wouldn't even try to block him, it seemed like. And Max Johnson would not even look over at where he was and to see, like, hey, I should worry about that guy.
Right. They kept lining Clemens up over a new starting offensive lineman, and he was just getting worked the whole game. It was
terrible.
Yeah, I mean, it was bad.
But I mean, at 98.7% chance for Texas A&M to win. And then the rest of the drive was absolutely insane with some of the plays. And I mean, until he threw that last pass, I still didn't believe we were coming back in that one.
Right.
It was just, he had made so many boneheaded decisions, mm-hmm, for the last few drives.
But he made the pass. We got the win, you know.
I was extremely happy.
Oh, yes.
My TV, couldn't believe it. Happy about the win. And then I immediately went back to, I did not forget what Max Johnson had done the rest of the second half. And I'm just like, I've sat this whole year going, I don't want to say anything about us losing Max Johnson, because I wasn't sure about how I felt about if Walker Howard was going to stay committed to LSU. And keeping Max Johnson also brings his brother, who's going to be a good, very good tight end in college.
Yeah, right.
And I was like, okay, we've already lost this season. Let's get him experience to where he's good enough next year and his brother still comes. I am at this point, I don't think getting his brother is worth keeping Max Johnson as my starter. I'm just not there with him. Like you said, there's so many things. I realize he's young, but he's played enough football last year and this year to there's just some of those things that seem to not be clicking. And some of that, there's an internal clock where you've got to get rid of the ball. He also, doesn't make good decisions on when to drop and run with the ball. There's just some of these basic things that look like they could be part of his game. And it sucks when he throws a beautiful, like just a perfect pass like we saw there to get the touchdown. He throws some of those amazing passes that not many quarterbacks on the entire planet can throw. But doing that once every, once or twice a game isn't worth the other plays.
All right. And hey, maybe Brian Kelly can come in and work some magic. I don't know. We'll see. With Moss Brennan, hopefully. Or Nussmeier, I definitely think we need somebody to start next year to give Walker Howard a year to
for sure
kind of get there. And we could very well get somebody from the transfer portal. God only knows what's gonna happen.
We might be able to get Ian Book back. Thank you. Got another year.
So big win. Tigers finished 6-6, are bowl eligible. I've heard hints of Independence Bowl versus BYU.
Heard that in Music City Bowl.
Okay.
And also was it Gator Bowl a little bit too, but mostly Music City. And
Music City, is that Memphis or Nashville?
Nashville,
hey.
You at the stadium that you went to a few weeks ago.
Another trip. We can make another trip to Nashville. So they're definitely bowl eligible. I assume they'll be in a bowl. They're still a big draw, still a big name. Yeah.
Travel well.
They travel very well. It was announced ahead of time that Brad Davis would be coaching the team. I definitely think that there will be discussions to have Brian Kelly involved in some way, possibly, especially with the last, they'll get a month of practice for being in a bowl. So I definitely think he'll be involved with those practices. It's time for him to get to work and to figure out what we're going to do, offensive and defensive coordinator. And I think it's got to be sometime soon, right? I don't see them dragging out trying to find someone.
No, I would say that we'll get that in the next few days, definitely right. In the next week.
The whole coaching search from when the game ended to when they announced Brian Kelly was just like, oh my God, it was pure, like just torture. Like, I don't think I've checked Twitter so much in my entire life. Like my days were off. I was just like totally just wrapped up in whatever, trying to figure out who was going to be. And, I'm glad we got who we got. I'm interested to see where we go from here. And yeah, it should be exciting. Just want to shift gears real quick to LSU basketball. Just talk about them briefly. They're playing tonight against Ohio. And before my internet crashed, they were winning. Okay, they're still winning.
They're up by 10.
Ohio, I think Wes and I were talking before, dropped, 90 on Belmont. The fact that LSU is, held them to 47 points so far with 2:50 left in the second half is just amazing. LSU's defense this year has just been off the charts amazing. And, if LSU wins this, I believe they'll be 8-0, I think. I can't say enough about the job Will Wade's done. And the fact that the first top 25 poll came out and they weren't in it is just laughable to me. It just shows what the national whatever media thinks about this team. But and Coach Wade said, they do that because it's LSU. We have to prove ourselves and improve ourselves again and improve ourselves again. And I firmly believe we will. When SEC play starts,
Adidas had them as a top 10 school though.
When SEC play starts at the end of January. I'm sorry, end of December. I believe it starts December 29th.
December 29th, Auburn.
Yeah.
To get a 10-day break after tonight too.
I'm excited. I'm trying to go to the Kentucky game, which is January 4th. I think that'll be a good game to go to.
Yeah, I'll be at the LSU TCU game at the end of January.
Nice. Is that at TCU?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Cool.
It's the SEC Big 12 Challenge.
Okay. Just big things I think are to come from this team. If you're not watching LSU basketball, jump on board because they are a fun team to watch. They are very talented defensively. They're scoring offensively. This is the most fun I've had watching LSU basketball in a very long time. And I think if they keep playing like this, they could be, you know, a final Elite Eight, Final Four team for sure. Like, they're in that conversation. You got anything else, Wes? Any final thoughts?
LSU women's team is also not ranked.
Huh, interesting. I believe they have one loss, I want to say, still. And again, just another great team. Kim Mulkey has done a fantastic job getting this team together, and they are absolutely one to watch as well. I believe they played last night and won. I don't remember what the final score was or have it in front of me.
Yeah, they lost the first game of this or second game of the season. They're 5-1. They've won 4. Okay.
Yeah. So, you know, they're definitely one to watch. LSU gymnastics.
They play tomorrow night against Iowa State.
Yes, they do. Who's number 14? I believe at the PMAC. So if you're in town, go see them. Gymnastics. We'll have their gymnastics 101 this weekend, which is kind of like their exhibition that they do before the season starts. So that'll be starting up soon as well. Like I said, man, it's just a great time to be a Tiger. It's a great time to be involved in LSU athletics and to watch these teams play. Once we get bowl information, obviously we'll cover that from the football side. We'll continue to cover basketball, both men's and women's, and throw a little gymnastics in there as well. But I think that is pretty much all the show we got for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all of your friends about the Don't Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple podcasts, including the 2-Point Conversion Instant Reaction Show, the Don't Patrol podcast, the BSN Beer Saints podcast with Wes, which came out today, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. He is taking a break this week, so he will not have a show this week. And of course, the Tiger's Den. Follow each show on Twitter at Don't Patrol PCAST, at Don't Patrol UK, at BSN Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger_podcast, and at Don't Patrol Prem. Follow us on Facebook. If you want to, we have been going live on the big show. So follow us on Facebook to see those shows live, and you can chat with us as we are recording. If you want to participate in game day chat during the Saints games, DM us on Twitter, and we'll get you an invitation to Don't Patrol Discord server. Saints play tomorrow night against the Cowboys. And if you want to listen the old-fashioned way, you can always go to don'tpatrolpodcast.com. Say bye-bye, donkeys.
Goodbye, donkeys.
Good night, Tiger Nation.
Hey, fighting Tigers, fight all the way. Hey, fighting Tigers, win the game today. You've got to know how you're doing fine. Hang on to the ball and you hit the wall and stand right through that line. You gotta go for the touchdown, run up the score. It might the Tiger spin.